I believe, I know scientifically that our sense of smell, olfactory, is very linked to memories that we store in our minds. And so I think part of the reason that wine does evoke this emotional goosebump teary-eyed is because there are notes, there are things that I will smell in a wine that immediately trigger a memory. And whether it's conscious and I'm recalling it and going, oh my gosh, this smells like, you know, and then it reminds me of XYZ, or sometimes I'm not even consciously recalling that, but I'm having a reaction. How cool is that? Like, what other thing are you putting in your glass, putting in your mouth that's like making you emotional like that, right? And I think that's important, you know, to feel emotion, to feel memory, to feel nostalgia. It's important. It's who we are as humans. So I have to start off this episode with a huge thank you and a shout out to two of our listeners, Lisa T. and Elizabeth, who have both recently supported the podcast in the form of a tip, essentially. And last night, I was able to go to dinner with Catherine, our producer, and celebrate our almost rounding the corner of 20 episodes recorded and edited and published, and was able to buy her some bourbon and buy me a couple of glasses of beautiful Anderson Valley Pinot Noir. We had a lovely meal at a new restaurant here in Sonoma County. So thank you so much for supporting the podcast. We'll shout you out if you do. There's a link in the show notes on how you can do that, and we appreciate it. So today, I came across a post from Karen McNeil. And if you are a regular listener, hey, I see you. Thank you. You've heard me mention Karen before. And if you're new to Sip with Nikki, welcome. Let me tell you about Karen McNeil. She is a 30-plus year wine writer, and she's the author of multiple editions of the Wine Bible, which is a wonderful reference book for anyone wanting to learn more about wine. And in 2012, when I first moved out here to wine country and spent a couple months at the Culinary Institute of America, Karen was one of my instructors. In fact, the program I was in called Wine Immersion was designed by her, and then she was the instructor for a large part of it. And so I have always followed Karen, and I've done more recent trainings with her, and she has a wonderful blog and a mailing list called Wine Speed. And today, she posted a really intriguing article, a blog article, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes, just talking about how her world of wine writing has changed, how wine consumption is changing, how of late people are just drinking differently, drinking less, drinking cocktails, and just really examining the future of wine and wine consumption. And in this article, she talked about a recent exercise that she did where she invited a few different winemakers from the area, put them on camera, and then asked them the question, why is wine important? And you'll read in her article, she talks about how these winemakers were sort of taken back by that question. You know, winemakers are so smart and detail-oriented and very quick to be able to tell you, you know, the proper pH levels of what Grenache should be at the end of fermentation. But she said it was very interesting to pose that bigger question of why is wine important? By the way, hopefully I'm going to have Karen on as a guest one day, and she and I can have a really cool discussion about this. But in the meantime, I thought that I would give you my answers to that. So for the last couple hours since I read that, I've been gathering my thoughts on why I think wine is important, and I'm excited to share it with you now. So here we go. So this question really got me thinking today. Why is wine important? First, I truly believe that wine is the taste of a place. And you'll hear a fancy wine word used often called terroir, French word. And the loose translation of that is essentially the taste of a place, right? So if you've ever thought about why, okay, I know I like Cabernet Sauvignon, but you go in the store and you can buy this particular type of variety of a grape, Cabernet Sauvignon, from California, from Chile, from Argentina, from Italy, from Washington, and on and on and on. And it's different, right? Why is it different? Because the grapes were grown in different places. The climate, the soil, the land, the farming, the air, the wind, all of that is why there's so many different expressions of each type of grape in the world. Even before we introduce the human influence of winemaking and how did you ferment it and what did you age it in and, you know, all of that, it really, when made correctly, with minimal intervention and more of just growing really good grapes and sort of shepherding them along through the process, wine expresses the place where it was grown. And I don't know about you, but I just think that's really freaking cool. Like to sit here in my house in California and to be able to taste Argentina in my glass in last week's episode, or to be able to taste, you know, Italy or Australia and really sense the place where this product and this agriculture came from. I'm nerding out a little bit, but it's cool. It's the expression of the place and where it came from. Along the same lines, I think it's also an expression of the time from whence it came, right? When it was picked. So there's this whole concept of vintage in wine, vintage meaning the date that you see on the bottle, and it's when the grapes were picked, not when they were bottled, but when literally they were taken off the vine. So it's an expression of the weather and the growing season that's, you know, 6 months long from when the buds are breaking in the spring and to the harvest in the fall. The vintage is an expression of what was happening in nature in that season. And then it goes in the bottle, and I think of it like a time capsule, right? If any of you listening are my fellow Matawan, New Jersey classmates, you guys remember in fifth grade, we buried a time capsule in the courtyard of our school, Lloyd Road School in New Jersey. And I think it was on the 30-year anniversary. A couple years ago, we had a reunion and we all went back and we dug up this galvanized garbage can and looked at all the things that we put in there that were an expression of that year, 1980, whatever it was. And it's just like, it's a snapshot in time, right? That's how I think about wine. It's an expression of what was happening at that moment. You know, my birthday is in mid-September. And I've been lucky enough twice in my life to taste a wine from the year I was born, 1976, Bicentennial Baby. And first of all, just tasting a wine that's almost 50 years old, that means I'm almost 50, is a really unique and special thing just because of what the wine is like. That's a story for another day. But in my nerdy, corny, sentimental, nostalgic brain, when I was able to taste a wine from 1976, and September is often a time where you're harvesting grapes, these were California wines, I was like, what if these grapes were literally picked the day that I was born in the Riverview Hospital in Red Bank, New Jersey? Little Sue was popping out the middle child. And these grapes were being picked in Napa Valley on the very same day. I don't know. It's just, I guess it, when you think about how the year and the vintage is such an important thing in wine, I'm trying to think what other products are like that, right? Where it's really about the year. I can't think of any at the moment. I'm sure there are some. Please write in Nikki@sipwithnikki.com or comment in social media. Tell me. Because I'm sure I'm missing some, but I just think it's really unique how not only is an expression of the place, but the time. And then once it's in the bottle, it's evolving and it's changing. So it's originally telling a story from when it was picked, but then it's sort of a living entity in the bottle and it's changing. And I just think that's fascinating. Another reason that I know that wine is important is that it brings people together. I've seen this many, many times over the years when I am hosting wine tastings, and we start at the beginning, maybe with a few couples that don't know each other. And at the end of our 2 hours together, they're exchanging phone numbers and following each other on social media or inviting each other to dinner. And yes, while there may be the the lubrication effect of alcohol that's making everyone super friendly, you know, even if they're not consuming more than just a little bit in a typical tasting, wine just does that. It gels and it brings people together. Karen McNeil, I believe, is the one who once said, and it always stuck with me, that wine is one of the only beverages that's not made in a single serving container, right? Now, that was true traditionally when you think of a wine bottle. And yes, haha, some of us may say a bottle of wine is a single serving for us. Should not be, but it goes down easily. But, you know, they're getting fancy nowadays with different cans and packaging. But if you think in the traditional sense of a 750 milliliter wine bottle that's supposed to be about 5 glasses of wine in there, it is meant to bring people together, to share, to be on the table. And I just love that part of it. The other thing that I think is so cool about wine and therefore makes it important to our history as human beings is that wine was discovered. It was not invented. Think about that for a minute. Wine was discovered. It was not invented. The process of turning fruit into a fermented product, wine, was not some crazy thing that somebody thought up and said, let me try. It's naturally what happens when just existing yeast in the natural environment comes in contact with grapes or any other type of fruit for that matter. You can ferment anything, right? It's what happens. It's just created. And really, if you think about it, the baseline of the process where you have grapes that have sugar and yeast is either naturally there or introduced, and the yeast consume the sugar and turn it into alcohol, right? That's all fermentation is. That baseline process really has not changed over how many hundreds, it might even be thousands of years that humans have been making wine. They first initially found wine. I think it was like, oh, look at this basket of grapes that's been sitting here. And when I drink the liquid that's coming out of it, I feel happy, right? It was discovered, not invented. Now, over time, have we added technology and, you know, different processes to refine it? Sure, of course. But are those things necessary to make a drinkable wine? No. When I first started making wine a decade ago, we were making it in buckets and carboys and Rubbermaid garbage cans in my living room, right? And it was very drinkable. Now, don't worry, Solovato, my wine that we'll talk about in a minute, is not made in that format. But the point is, the process is what the process is, and it has not really had to change and evolve very much over the years. And I just think that's cool, right? It's like preservation of a process and part of our human history. The other reason that wine is important, and this one's very personal to me, is that it can evoke an emotional response. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, and you know, you might just be someone who's like, I like to drink wine, but it's not like bringing me to tears. I hope one day that you do get to put your nose in a glass of something that literally makes the hair on your arms stand up like goosebumps. Or when you first take a sip, you get a little teary in your eyes. This happens to me. And I know it might sound crazy to you, but that reaction is what led me to make a total life change over a decade ago, from living in a place that I loved and doing a job that I loved in the magical world of Disney, to picking up and moving out here to California and starting from scratch and learning and getting certified, because I was experiencing wines at that time that were literally bringing me to tears. And I was fascinated by that. Like, what the heck is that reaction about? And there just can be so layered and nuanced. And I think for me, as you've heard me call out already in this episode, I'm a very nostalgic person, right? I love to look back and remember old times and memories and things like that. I'm very blessed to have a very positive childhood and even adulthood for the most part. So I love to like look back and be nostalgic about things. And I know scientifically that our sense of smell, olfactory, is very linked to memories that we store in our minds. And so I think part of the reason that wine does evoke this emotional goosebump teary-eyed is because there are notes, there are things that I will smell in a wine that immediately trigger a memory. And whether it's conscious and I'm recalling it and going, oh my gosh, this smells like, you know, and then it reminds me of XYZ, or sometimes I'm not even consciously recalling that, but I'm having a reaction. How cool is that? Like, what other thing are you putting in your glass, putting in your mouth that's like making you emotional like that, right? And I think that's important, you know, to feel emotion, to feel memory, to feel nostalgia. It's important. It's who we are as humans. Very importantly, wine can elevate food. And if you go back to my pairing schmearing episode a couple weeks back, you'll hear me talking about some tips on finding those right combinations where the wine elevates the food and the food elevates the wine, and you just get an overall better culinary and sensory experience. And I think that's important. It's important to take something that's already delicious and be able to bring it to a whole nother level and increase the enjoyment. Y'all know I love me some joy. And so that reason is very much related to joy. And then finally, why is wine important? Because it just tastes damn delicious. Is it okay for me to say that? It's just yummy and it tastes good and it feels good and it makes us think about good things. And don't we all need more of that in our lives, especially lately? So I think that's important, just to value it for being yummy and delicious and bringing joy. That being said, it's time for our Sip Spotlight.
Sip Spotlight.
So I'm trying not to only talk about my passion project, my wine Solovato that I make in every episode. I'm holding back. But I feel like if I'm talking about why wine is important, how can I not share with you the beauty, the deliciousness, the goosebump evokingness that is Solovato Sangiovese? Our 2021 vintage is an expression of the Ramazzotti vineyard. Joe Ramazzotti, his son Travis Ramazzotti, they are our growers. Their estate, their home is in Geyserville in the Dry Creek Valley of Sonoma County. We purchase our grapes from them. They're farming that land. They planted those vines on their property over 20 years ago. That's important, right? And then when I receive those grapes and I become the shepherd to kind of just move that wine along through fermentation and keep it healthy and clean and protect it from oxygen, I am helping to express those people, their work, their land. And I don't take that lightly. And luckily, it's delicious because the grapes that they're growing are delicious. That's why we wanted to purchase from them. And I just am so excited to share it with all of you. So check out our website, solovatowines.com. And don't forget, there's a special coupon code for podcast listeners. It's called Pod Listener. And it'll get you 10% off. 10% off. Yeah. Pod Listener, 10% off. Just for being a listener. That's how much I appreciate you. So that, my friends, is why wine is important. Why is it important to you? So it's important. Wine is important. It's the taste of a place. It's the expression of a time. It tells the story of when it was picked and the people who got it to that point. It brings people together. It was discovered and not invented. We've maintained this ancient process for thousands of years. It can elevate food, and it just tastes really good. So that is why wine is important. check out solovatowines.com and use the code PODLISTENER, all one word, PODLISTENER, for 10% off your wine order. I will pack it with love and ship it right to your doorstep. And at the time of this recording, which is early April 2024, we have just crossed 2,500 downloads across our episodes, and we have over 1,100 listeners. Wow. So I just want to say thank you because you're one of them. Please keep listening. And if you're enjoying what you're hearing, please rate this podcast. If you're an Apple or Spotify, you can leave a star rating at the bottom. It's a 5-star scale. You can take a moment and leave a review. We've been getting some really great reviews. And if you have someone in your life who you think would enjoy this, please share. From the screen right where you're listening in the top right, there should be a little arrow button where you can text this to someone and say, hey, check this out. It's important. We're doing important work over here. So thank you. Cannot wait to share more with you in the next episode. But until then, sip well.
Sip with Nikki is hosted by Nikki Lamberti, production and sound mixing by Catherine Bryan. You can always send your listener questions to Nikki at sipwithnikki.com or find us on the Sip with Nikki Facebook page or visit us on Instagram at Nikki Lamberti. Thanks for listening. Until next time, sip well, everyone. This is Sip with Nikki, a production of Take 10 Studios.